All right. Welcome back to yet another episode of the Afro Trade Podcast. Of course, coming to you guys from the sidelines of the MMC 7.0 conference, day two, almost getting towards the end of it. We've had some amazing, amazing people come through here on the podcast, on the main stage, and everybody's been interacting. A lot of people asking a lot of questions. And I've got a lady who's doing quite a bit in Nigeria, and of course the theme of this year is all about, you know, building bridges for equitable trade. And we always like to hear the definition from, you know, different people and what it actually does mean for them, right? Now, Nia, first and foremost, good afternoon, good morning.
Good afternoon, yeah. Calvin.
Yes, having a good time so far?
Yes, yes.
Yeah? Have you learned anything for the time that you've been here?
A lot. I was really excited to see Mr. Austin, who I am a huge fan of, so his fireside chat was really insightful. And
it was quite informative.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. How he said, you know, you can scale this and that.
Yeah. Harissa seemed easy, but I don't know. Is that easy?
If you look at for how long he's been doing this, he's very confident about, you know. But, you know, with all of that said and done, what does equitable trade mean for you?
In our continent?
Or continent, Nigeria. You could start with Nigeria and, you know, take it to the continent if you may.
I don't know that I can put one sort of definition on what it is, because for me, I can just think about a plethora of things that I can use to sort of navigate those waters. But equitable trade, the first thing I think about is give, take, right? And, you know, Africa, Nigeria, do we have what we can give? Yes, we do.
Certainly.
Are we taking anything? I'm not really sure. I think that, you know, we might be a bit exploited sometimes. We might be getting the shorter end of the stick sometimes. I think that we provide, but we're not, you know, holders or equity holders in anything really. I think that we have the stage for a lot, but are we getting those things in revenue and returns? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Are those things manifesting as investments? I also don't think so. So equitable trade and Nigeria or Africa in the same sentence, I don't know.
A bit of a tricky situation. All right. What are some of the barriers that you face in your trade when you speak to your colleagues, friends, parents, all the people that, you know, you feel that were barriers in towards, you know, towards achieving equitable trade that you've had of, have experienced, and continue to just say, you know, I wish this could be something that we could sort. You know, just like how when we were on the panel, how Derek just, he said electricity and he kept hammering it down. But for you, what are some of those barriers that you'd say have hindered?
I think for us in media,
yeah.
And, you know, as that is my strong suit, I can only speak for us.
Yeah.
It's an us issue. And I think when African journalism or African media houses start to speak in one voice, the world will start to listen to us differently. If we start to project our story the way we want to tell it, then the world will also listen differently, right? You have, I mean, a lot of events and panels and discussions around Africa that don't have Africans in it.
Yes.
Right? And, you know, you see foreigners speaking for Africa, and it's a bit odd. I think we also ourselves hinder our progress.
Yes.
If we have platforms that give good stories about Nigeria or Africa that shine and spotlight us in, you know, positive ways, then we create sort of nation or content or continent-wide success, right? Going across those barriers, it's a we thing. And if we fix it internally, then externally it will be a little easier to have, you know, global outlets help us reach and scale and, you know, do all those wonderful things that we know that we're capable of doing.
Do you have mentors in your field, as you were saying, you know what, I want to get into media?
No, I was pushed into media.
Oh.
Through inheritance.
Okay.
But I do have a mentor, my father. We don't sit down like this and, you know, he talks to me about, I just watch and learn, and I've always watched and learned. And he is fantastic in not only media, but in all the businesses, you know, under our family umbrella. And he's really shaped everything that I've thought about, everything that I've dreamt about, you know, where I want to go, where I see things now, my love for Nigeria, my love for being African, especially. He's allowed me to marry what I envision for this country and for this continent.
Yes.
To seem almost possible without, you know, stumbling blocks. So that's my mentor. And I mean, of course, everybody else that comes into my life that has shaped my life in one way or the other, indirectly or directly, are all who I consider mentors, you know.
And of course, by virtue of what you've now been able to achieve, there's definitely a lot of young men and women always coming up to you and they're like, yeah, could you?
Oh, yes.
Do you have a lot of those?
I do have a lot of those. And I have to be honest, I try not to fit myself into being anyone's role model or mentor, because I think it's a lot to carry on. And, you know, one shoe does not fit all. How I decide to wake up in the morning might not be your preference, and my work ethic might not be yours. You know, I'm type A personality. It has to get done. If it doesn't get done, no one is sitting down, no one is sleeping, no one is resting. But then I say that to also say that once I switch off, I'm turned off.
Yeah.
Not many CEOs, especially not many CEOs like me who are at the helm of things, managing about 10 of my family's businesses, can switch off for 3 days. I will turn that phone on and not give a about what's going on outside, you know? So different strokes for different folks, honestly. But not to say, I will sit down, I will have a conversation, but do you first and then come back to me. I'm sort of like the numbers girl. So if you really want that mentorship, you need to show me the figures and show me that it makes sense. And if I ask you a question that you're unable to answer, then we can't do anything.
No, I mean, I get your point.
You get what I mean?
There's a lot of people who just will come to you and don't have a solid plan.
And right? Just talk.
And just go on and they're just like, we like to call it vibes and inshallah, you know?
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
But let the vibes and inshallah have some oomph. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I talk and I talk and I talk and I'm like, all right, tomorrow I'm going to send Calvin a PDF and send him a doc on what I've said today.
Yes.
And we might have just been having steak and wine. But, you know, tomorrow Calvin is going to say, you know what? She's about her business and she wants to be serious and she wants, you know, to come under my, you know, guidance or whatever. And this is a serious person. Not to say that the vibes and issue a lot of people are not serious. Y'all are serious. But I'm saying for this.
Yes. Structure, as we said, structures, you can't escape.
No.
You can't. And it's one of those things where vibes can get you to a certain level.
Absolutely.
But when you start now to say, hey, I want to scale my business, you know, to even get a facility from, you know, or even equity, guys are like, okay, show us your books, show us your files.
To speak English.
Yes. Exactly.
It's really not.
It's really not that. You actually have to show it and prove it.
Yeah.
And people are not just saying, you know, before people even invest in an idea, they actually want to see, so what have you done? Before we can come in and help you.
And it's not even about investing in the idea. It's there are 8 billion people on planet Earth.
Yes.
The chances that your idea is already working and is already, you know, somewhere existing are so high, right? What are you then doing to show that you're better than your idea that already exists,
yeah,
you know? Anyway.
It's one of those things. Listen, so in conclusion, you know, when you run the business and, you know, the different businesses that you run, when you think about the continent, Africa, you know, scaling from Nigeria onto the continent, would you say you're confident in what is happening in Africa? Africa being the youngest continent, we've got a lot of resources. We're having conversations with internally, right? To remove the existing borders that were imposed upon us and so many different things happening and things that are not happening. Would you say you're confident in what Africa is striving for?
I'm definitely confident. I think that the mistake we as Africans make is that we look at ourselves almost as emerging and not evolving. And I think in turn, the world looks at us in that light as well, almost like this new toy in the playpen that just came out of nowhere. But Africa has always been. Even though we're the youngest in continent, we've sort of always been. And there's always been a lot of creativity and competence, and now global relevance coming to us. And I think, you know, I have so much confidence in this continent, so much confidence in Nigeria. I mean, look at our entertainment industry, look at our fashion industry, look at our tech, look at our art. There's so many things that make us. And, you know, the more we focus on the positive, the more people stop focusing on us, you know, as a challenge.
Yes.
You know, I'm so sick and tired of people referencing or comparing or thinking about, you know, the child or the fly on his or her face when they think about us, because that is what we have projected, right? Africa, Nigeria is a land of opportunity and not of aid. And the sooner we start looking at ourselves in that competent light, the more other people will look at us in the same. We have to tell our story.
No one's going to tell us.
No one is going to tell our story better than us. You have to hype yourself. Don't hide your passport at the airport. Don't try and switch your accent. Don't try and do all these things, you know. Just be who you are and be proud of where you're from.
Yes.
You know?
Man, that's a gem right there. You know, I was just, I was cracking up when you said a fly on the face is, that's from a running joke with me and my friends. How we're always saying, you know, on the continent, you're talking to some people and they're just like, oh, wow, Africa? You're like, no, there's Africa as a whole, but there's countries. Yeah, we don't all, no, we're not all from the same village. You get what I mean? And Africa's amazing. Africa's on the rise. Music, the talent, the podcast, even so many things that we're doing. Nia, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you. And of course, success. We wish the best of luck.
Thank you. And to you.
Thank you very much to you in whatever that you're doing. And we hope that we can have you at MMC8 a year from now to come shed some more light on, you know, the amazing things that you're doing.
Thank you.
All righty. There you go, man. Another brilliant episode of the Afro Trade Podcast. Nia in the cut. And of course, her talking about so many amazing things as we all strive to achieve equitable trade on the continent. Catch you at the next one.